News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
It is Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. You know, in deference to what's happening in Washington, D.C., we're going to bump my brother down a segment or two and talk about March Madness either later on this hour or maybe tomorrow, because we have breaking news right now and breaking coverage.
Yeah, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky just now speaking with the U.S. Congress. We'll go to that right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Americans, friends, I'm proud to greet you from Ukraine, from our capital city of Kyiv, a city that is under missile and airstrikes from Russian troops every day, but it doesn't give up, and we have not even thought about it for a second. Just like many other cities and communities in our beautiful country, which found themselves in the worst war since World War II. I have the honor to greet you on behalf of the Ukrainian people, brave and freedom-loving people, who for 8 years have been resisting the Russian aggression. Those who give their best sons and daughters to stop this full-scale Russian invasion. Right now, the destiny of our country is being decided. The destiny of our people, whether Ukrainians will be free, whether they will be able to preserve their democracy. Russia has attacked not just us, not just our land, not just our cities. It went on a brutal offensive against our values, basic human values. It threw tanks and planes against our freedom, against our right to live freely in our own country, choosing our own future. Against our desire for happiness, against our national dreams, just like the same dreams you have, you Americans, just like anyone else in the United States. I remember your national memorial in Rushmore, the faces of your prominent presidents, those who laid the foundation of the United States of America as it is today, democracy, independence, freedom, and care for everyone, for every person, for everyone who works diligently, who lives honestly, who respects the law. We in Ukraine want the same for our people. All that is normal part of your own life. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, Americans, in your great history, you have pages that would allow you to understand Ukrainians, understand us now, when you need it right now, when we need you right now. Remember Pearl Harbor, terrible morning of December 7, 1941, when your sky was black from the planes attacking you. Just remember it. Remember September the 11th, a terrible day in 2001 when evil tried to turn your cities, independent territories, in battlefields, when innocent people were attacked from air. Yes. Just like no one else expected it, you could not stop it. Our country experiences the same every day, right now, at this moment, every night, for 3 weeks now. Various Ukrainian cities, Odessa and Kharkiv, Chernihiv and Sumy, Zhytomyr and Lviv, Mariupol and Dnipro, Russia has turned the Ukrainian sky into a source of death for thousands of people. Russian troops have already fired nearly 1,000 missiles at Ukraine, countless bombs. They use drones to kill us with precision. This is a terror that Europe has not seen for 80 years, and we are asking for a reply, for an answer to this terror from the whole world. Is this a lot to ask for? To create a no-fly zone over Ukraine to save people. Is this too much to ask? Humanitarian no-fly zone, something that that Russia would not be able to terrorize our free cities. If this is too much to ask, we offer an alternative. You know what kind of defense systems we need, S-300 and other similar systems. You know how much depends on the battlefield, on the ability to use aircraft, powerful, strong aviation to protect our people, our freedom, our land, aircraft that can help Ukraine, help Europe, and you know that they exist and you have them, but they are on Earth, not in Ukraine, in the Ukrainian sky. They do not defend our people. I have a dream. These words are known to each of you. Today I can say, I have a need. I need to protect our sky. I need your decision, your help, which means exactly the same you feel when you hear the words, I have a dream. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, Ukraine is grateful to the United States for its overwhelming support, for everything that your government and your people have done for us, for weapons and ammunition, for training, for finances, for leadership in the free world, which helps us to pressure the aggressor economically. I'm grateful to President Biden for his personal involvement, for his sincere commitment to the defense of Ukraine and democracy all over the world. I am grateful to you for the resolution which recognizes all those who commit crimes against Ukraine, against the Ukrainian people as war criminals. However, now, it is true, in the darkest time for our country, for the whole Europe, I call on you to do more. New packages of sanctions are needed constantly, every week, until the Russian military machine stops. Restrictions are needed for everyone on whom this unjust regime is based. We propose that the United States sanctions all politicians in the Russian Federation who remain in their offices and do not cut ties with those who are responsible for the aggression against Ukraine, from state Duma's members to the last official who has lack of morale to break the state terror. All Americans.
All right, that's Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky addressing the U.S. Congress there and asking for, again, a no-fly zone. And Wall Street Journal spoke with lawmakers yesterday who said they wanted Zelensky to be direct in his requests for military equipment. And certainly part of that speech being very direct there. Yep. Now, the president, Biden, expected to speak after Zelensky, where he will announce $1 billion in new military assistance to the Ukraine government. That aid expected to include more of the same kinds of military equipment that the U.S. says Ukrainians need the most. Anti-armor, anti-air systems, javelins, stingers, and that money coming from the roughly $13.6 billion that had been allotted for Ukraine in the most recent spending bill.
So what have they gotten so far? Around 17,000 anti-armor weapons have been sent to Ukraine in the last number of weeks and are being pressed into use against Russian tanks and other hardware. As Zelensky spoke yesterday, he talked about the Russians walking away from some of their, you know, surrendering and walking away and actually becoming an arms supplier for Ukraine. He did that yesterday, a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
So as of March 8th, Ukrainian fighters had destroyed over 1,000 armored personnel carriers, 303 tanks, 120 artillery systems, and 80 helicopters. That, according to the Kyiv independent.
And today, as Zelensky speaks, Ukraine has launched a counteroffensive against Russian forces that have been moving in on the capital city, Kiev. The shelling that's been going on around Kiev continued, but Ukrainian forces said they pressed an offensive south and east of the southern port of Mykolaiv, moving in the direction of Kherson, which is the only Ukrainian regional capital that's been occupied by Russia since the war began back on February 24th. Ukraine said they carried out an airstrike on the Kherson airport, which is now a Russian air base. How weird is that, bombing your own airport that had been taken over by the enemy?
Yeah.
Satellite imagery from the tarmac showed 7 destroyed or damaged Russian helicopters, some of them engulfed in flames. Kiev also says they shot down 2 Russian Su-30SM jets over the Black Sea just off Odessa. Also, yesterday, Russia began moving even more naval resources towards that port city of Odessa, and the war rages on as Zelensky speaks to U.S. Congress this morning.
Yeah, and yesterday also, Zelensky was very direct in his address to Russian soldiers themselves, telling them that, you know, put down your arms. We'll treat you as humans. We will not abuse you. We will, you probably don't want to be here. You don't want to be in this fight anyway. And we have heard reports of Russian morale and the young soldiers that have not had nearly the motivation, obviously, that the Ukrainian people have shown.
It's interesting watching Zelensky give these different speeches. You could tell that his career as an actor is is paying off, not just for him, but for the entire country. As in his speech now with Congress, you heard him reference Martin Luther King and the I Have a Dream speech, Zelensky saying, I have a need, and that's to clear the airspace around my country. He's also referenced some works of Shakespeare, and he's a very, I would say, a very proficient public speaker, even as he moves from undisclosed location to undisclosed location underneath his own city.
That's a good point, though, of him being in the entertainment industry. He knows how to read a line. He knows how to convey a thought. And he was even referencing parts of the United States, Mount Rushmore, and so forth and so on.
We'll have to see if this changes any minds in Washington, as you have certainly some people calling for further action in Ukraine, some calling to enforce that no-fly zone. But will this address encourage the president to take even further action?
Here's what I think about that, Dalton. I think his speech just ended, or either that or they've had some sort of a
It looks like they're showing like a tourism ad for Ukraine of some sort there. So maybe maybe showing what it looked like before the war.
Here's the thing. No matter how compelling this argument is or this film is, which is pretty dramatic, okay? Yeah. So anyway, guy walking through a park and suddenly there's this big explosion. This is a well-done piece that's supposed to get to the hearts, but I would think that Biden's response, which is immediately after, has already been
plotted,
already been written.
Yeah. Right?
So this won't have any effect on that. Will it have an effect beyond that? That's the interesting thing that we'll keep an eye on with this, okay?
Yeah.
So again, Tom Brennan and Bracketology is going to take a back burner today because of what's going on right here with Zelensky and his Zoom call to Congress. It's 819 FM Talk 106.5. Also, the French, some French activists pulling a fast one on Russia, too. We'll have that right around the corner. 820, Dan and Dalton, give a call. 251-343-0106 to Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan and Dalton. Zelensky just wrapped up his talk and presentation, a film presentation as well, that complimented what he had to say to Congress. Looks like it's pretty compelling stuff. Standing O at the end, not a surprise.
Yeah, and President Biden expected to speak soon in response to the Zelensky speech there to Congress. This segment of the show brought to you by RightToWorkUSA.com, a job search network that allows potential employees and employers to easily apply or post a job. Now, the Right to Work USA home office is right here in Mobile, Alabama, but they're a website. They provide jobs and job opportunities across the entire nation. Now, what's great about this, in this market, it's so tough to find great employees, but Right to Work USA is trying to make that easier for you, the manager or owner of your small or large business. If you're an employer that's looking for your next great hire, head on over today to write2workusa.com. That's right, the number 2workusa.com. With just the click of a button, your open job positions can be sent out to thousands of applicants across the entire write2workusa.com network. The search engine is what makes this bad boy go, this awesome website. It's easy to, for employees to find your job using search tools like the regional, local, and map view. You can search by category, job type, experience, and all of these soon-to-be employees are uploading their resumes and making it very easy for you to see what they've done. So right2workusa.com works for both large companies and small businesses, and they're making it easy for you to find that next great employee. Go to write, the number two, write2workusa.com and find the right people to work for you.
What a story. These French activists, a group of French activists say they took over a French seaside villa, this beautiful resort. But, you know, home on a hillside, not really a resort, but might as well be. It belonged to Russian President Vladimir Putin's former son-in-law. By the way, if you're Vladimir Putin's former son-in-law, aren't you dead?
You would think so.
I wouldn't want to have marriage troubles considering this.
What do you think his talk before the wedding was like with the guy?
Anyway, they've taken over this house, and what they in social media posts, the activists said they changed the locks on the house, like he can't get in anymore, and hope to use house Ukrainian refugees in this mansion that was owned by the former son-in-law of Putin. They said they were going to IKEA to get some furnishings as well. So it was kind of a lighthearted story, a lighthearted video, but in a way, what a Sakatum kind of moment there where you take it over, go in and you change the locks. He couldn't get in there if he wanted to.
Crazy. A couple texts here. Jessica says, is Putin truly mad and will he go nuclear? Is that the hesitation with the no-fly zone? They know he will. Possibly goes back to the Putin's playbook Biden and Obama briefed on when he was VP. Lisa says, our president is too weak and such a puppet that no matter how many pleas are made, the man behind the curtain has already made the decisions years ago. Biden is a career establishment yes man. Not one act has been on his own accord. The world sees our weakness and my heart bleeds for Zelensky pleading for his people, praying for Ukraine. A couple texts on the text line. Your story there, and then all of these stories we've had, this is like the first... maybe not the first, but on a massive scale, canceling things that are happening in Russia. I'm not doing a very good job of explaining. So we've seen, you know, McDonald's and Coca-Cola and Pepsi were like the last major U.S. companies to leave Russia. You had all of these banking companies go away. You know, that.
Well, it's one thing if you can't get a McFlurry, but
it's another thing if you can't withdraw money.
Any money, right.
And then also the problem is the money they withdraw is worth less than the paper it was printed on at this point, those rubles. But I'm not sure if we've thought, well, I know that we as a whole have not thought
it through,
these consequences all the way through.
Right.
We've been thinking about what might escalate the Russian aggression in terms of war power, whether we institute a no-fly zone or shoot a Russian across the border.
Send them some aircraft.
But have we thought about the economic escalations here? What does Russia have to go back to now? They've had so many...
So what you're saying
is... Was this the economic nuclear option, what I'm saying, the way that we've canceled everything in Russia?
Yeah, are they too desperate?
Yeah.
And are they going to act like somebody that has nothing to lose?
That's one of my thoughts. And then also, you know, there are a lot of Russians in Russia who have nothing to do with all of this.
Yeah, we're punishing them.
Are we punishing the wrong people in some of these cases?
I think we're punishing them maybe short term to get this thing straightened out. And then, maybe things get better for them.
Just some things to think about.
Sure. Yeah. FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton. Morning, y'all.
Hey, 8:35 on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, having a great time here at FM Talk 106.5. And I know every day you have a great time at McConnell Automotive. What you got on the lot out there for us?
Oh, man, we've got everything. We got the new body style truck got in yesterday. Man, it looks great. Diesel, it's a X31, which is a four-wheel drive. It's Premium Plus, and it's not sold. So anybody wants to come look at the new body style half-ton Sierra, it's a diesel, four-wheel drive, half-ton. Man, it's here. It's beautiful. It's sitting outside. Also got a new Denali out there that's not sold. So anybody looking for those vehicles, come see us at McConnell Buick GMC. And we got great deals on GM certifieds. We got plenty of those out front, and gives you an extra 12-12 on the warranty. Don't forget that powertrain pumps it up to 100,000. Also got a bunch of other different cars out here. We bought six yesterday at the auction. They'll be here this afternoon, and that'll be trucks and some cars. So like I said, you can check all those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
A busy Wednesday over there. We appreciate your time, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and of course online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Good morning. It is Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. In the 8 o'clock hour, we kicked it off with, it was kind of good timing as it turned out. It was President Volodymyr Zelensky from Ukraine addressing Congress and with an interpreter. So it was, you know, a little... not the cleanest thing to listen to and try to understand exactly what was going on, but I think for the most part we got it. What we weren't able to really obviously show you on radio or talk about that well because we didn't see it. We're busy here doing radio. In the middle of his conversation, it was broken up by a film presentation, you know, to sway.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty remarkable. You said, it was almost a tourism thing. And then suddenly the places that you were showing that were, places of great history,
right,
and parks and buildings and everything. Then you saw the torment of the war.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty, pretty moving.
Yeah. And all of this, and I know I sound like the biggest wet blanket this morning. And of course, in this day and age, if you say anything to counter the cultural movement, in this instance, you get branded as, you know, pro-Putin or pro-opposition or whatever. But, you know, all of these, and Zelensky's doing what he has to do, right? But he's trying to play on the emotion of Americans and the emotion of the rest of the world. And that is certainly, you know, passion is something that draws response in many different instances.
Especially when it's genuine.
But you can't make these decisions based on pure emotion.
No.
And I would think that the Biden administration is not doing that. Actually, a pretty big article, I can't recall. It was either in the New York Times or something here recently, but it was probably, you know, partially propaganda to make the Biden administration look good. But they talked about how since Biden used to be more of a hawk in international affairs, that he has become a lot more reluctant to act militarily. And we saw that when he, with the terrible withdrawal from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. It was almost like Biden said, I'm getting them out. I'm getting these troops out no matter what. And that actually, you know, came at a price because it wasn't the most well thought out withdrawal.
No,
obviously.
It was thought out the date that he had in his stump speech. You know, it had to do more with they're coming out then, mm-hmm, this time in August, one way or the other.
Yeah.
So it wasn't strategized or it wasn't game planned to the idea of, okay, how do we do this safely? How do we take care of our people? How do we make sure that the informants who worked with us for decades are out? How do we make sure that our whatever military hardware we have is safe?
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he just yanked them out of there, and it was a colossal mess. And you even had deaths at the gate at the airport.
Yeah, with Marines.
Yeah.
And he's been very clear that he wants to avoid any military action if he can. But, you know, the last president was the same way. Trump, he said he didn't want to get our guys and girls into any action overseas. But I think the main difference is, if these stories are true, that Trump was saying, listen, we don't want to be in any wars, but if you do this, we will do this. And he reportedly very clear with both the Russian president and the Chinese president, yeah, that we would bomb the hell out of them if we had to. And I don't know if that was maybe a deterrent, if that's why this didn't happen during his 4 years.
That was one of those people in the room overheard this.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't verify all that. But certainly, if that was his stance, I remember years ago a quote from a former Texas A&M coach. He was replaced by Franchione. This is the early 2000s, and he was at our club. And Franchione from Alabama went to Texas A&M. He lost to Oklahoma by 77.
Woo.
A guy asks the former coach that they let go, would you have lost to Oklahoma by 77? And he thought for a second. He said, we never did.
Yeah.
That's kind of the same thing here, right?
Yeah.
We just can look at the record and presume that, that maybe there was more fear of what Trump might do.
And you know, it's been really interesting. Maybe you've seen some of this video from Trevor Noah, the Daily Show host, which I don't know of anyone that watches that anymore. Obviously, Jon Stewart made it very popular back in the day. So you have Trevor Noah, and then you also have Bill Maher, who have said similar things. I think Bill Maher said, he didn't use your Texas A&M analogy, but he said the same thing. It didn't happen when Trump was president. And, you know, what's the reason behind that? Why is it happening now and not then? But, you know, if this does become, if they do end up moving into a NATO country, if Poland catches, you know, a stray missile or something, Article 5 is it's pretty clear that if any aggression is acted towards a NATO country, that the rest of NATO must act. And, you know, the vice president has said it. The president has said it. If it comes to that, we will act.
Any way a NATO country creates a strike, mm-hmm. claims a strike.
That's the problem, right?
And now, because they're itching to go. Are they itching to go? I don't know, but the war. If you start to think Russia is getting weaker here, Russia looks weaker. Russia is weaker. Russia maybe is on a timetable where time might be not on their side. Would that make you more proactive, or would you just let it kind of simmer itself out on its own?
That's a great question,
and I think there is some belief right now that. You know, you hear some comments, and Dalton and I, just a couple of guys here in Mobile, Alabama, reading up on it, trying to keep up, not sure about how accurate one guy is over another. We've got a million commentators in boxes on every network, but would you be more likely to take on the fight if you think Russia is weakening or if they are strengthening?
Yeah, because they've had so much trouble. You'd think that with 50,000 troops on the border right now for a training exercise and all of that military equipment, that it wouldn't take a whole lot to at least stop their offensive in Ukraine. But the worry is what else would happen.
Bigger picture, right.
And along with all of this, and we'll get to some local news here with Jeff Poore in just a minute, but with all of this going on, even if you take out the possibility of us getting involved more militarily, what about United States standing on the world stage right now? You have... First off, the reports that Saudi Arabia and the Arab Emirates ignored Biden's calls regarding producing more fuel, more oil.
That'll look good.
You have Saudi Arabia now possibly selling oil to China using the Chinese yuan and moving away from the U.S. currency. Could the U.S. dollar not be the world's reserve currency anymore going forward? And you have Israel trying to broker the peace deals between these two. There's not, outside of the United States, there's not a whole lot of talk about the U.S.'s role and what's going on over there.
Or the lack of. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, you've got to be really measured with this, I think, because it's, you were saying, you can't watch a 4.5 minute movie about Ukraine and react that way.
Right.
I think it's definitely, that was not necessarily for Joe Biden. That was for senators and congressmen who hear from their constituents very often, mm-hmm. right? They represent the people, and for the people of the United States as well. I think that video presentation was for us.
Yeah, I agree completely. Phil says, Zelensky's lost his mind. He used MLK to ask for more weapons in a no-fly zone, and then asks the U.S. for millions more in money while I'm paying more $200 per car per week. The U.S. doesn't want to be in a war. He needs to ask other countries to chip in and get involved, as we are a broke country. That's Phil there. Let's see. Charles says, well, he sends a meme with FJB. By the way, did you see the Alabama guy with the FJB license plate? Apparently, they said, yeah, go ahead and keep that. After
really?
Aldott went after him,
yeah.
They even apologized for bringing it up.
Wow.
According to him, anyway.
Bringing Aldott down to their knees.
Yeah, seriously. Lots of texts coming in. 251.
He needs to be the guy that gets the bridge done, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And he understands how to leverage it.
Which, by the way, that $1.2 billion sent to Ukraine, equivalent to the price of what the bridge would be over the Mobile Bay. But that's just part of the, what was it, $13.6 billion that's being sent that way from this latest $1.5 trillion spending bill. And they're wondering why we have inflation. Another $1.5 trillion spending bill.
Yeah, well, they're not wondering long. It's 8:46, so big story. Basically broke last night.
Yeah, a clean lottery bill from one of our very own state reps, Chip Brown, who's been very busy this session. We'll talk with Jeff Poor about the possibility of a lottery coming to Alabama.
It's on the way next. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:47. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:51. Don't listen to everything Lance Pride tells you. Like, for instance, right after Zelensky was done with his presentation to Congress, that he'll be talking to Congress at 11 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
Incorrect, sir. So anyway, Dan and Dalton, Jeff Poor on the way.
Yeah, he'll get it cleared up.
sure, by the end of his show.
The Jeff Poor Show coming up here in a few minutes, but, you know, it's Wednesday. Why not start the Jeff Poor Show a little early and bring him on with us? Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So you have a late night every night. I guess I do, too. But the difference is I watch, D2 basketball, and you're busy watching what's going on around the state and the nation. And Capital Journal last night, some breaking news with a reoccurring guest with you and Sean, Todd Stacey, and clean lottery bill now in the works in Montgomery.
Yeah, so a bill, a chief sponsor on it, our own Chip Brown, Hollinger's Island, but a Gillisbill of Gadsden also on, and pretty much let the cat out of the bag. But it doesn't matter. The bill's already filed. It's up on Allison. That's the legislature's website. You can read it, House Bill 502. Looks like a lot of money for scholarships. It's an education lottery, but clean lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the House is going to go, finally.
This is interesting also. At the same time they're talking of, and I don't know if these two are connected, but the same time there's talk of repealing grocery tax, and the state grocery tax, 4%, and the $500 million in revenue that goes, I believe, towards education, and at the same time talking about a lottery which would pour money into education. Are those two related in any other way, or no?
No. I don't think so. The whole idea of the grocery tax, it's this proposal is way too complicated. It's like targeted towards certain incomes. That one's a heavy lift as well.
So the clean lottery bill, midterms on the way, it seemed like the actual casino bill with the dog tracks was too complicated to get through now with all the different interests at play. But what do you think? Just a clean lottery, would that sail smoother through in this kind of year?
Probably not. Here's the problem. It's a problem. We've talked about it so many times on these airwaves. You're always going to have a number of Republicans that are going to vote no. Now, they're going to have fewer Republicans vote no on the quote-unquote simple lottery bill than, say, comprehensive gaming, for sure. But remember, the threshold is this. It's 3/5 majority because it's a constitutional amendment. That's just to get to the ballot. So you're still going to have to make up those numbers. Where do you have to go? You got to look across the aisle to Democrats.
Right.
Both the Democrats have their two sacred cows. They have the Green Track and they have Victory Land in Tuskegee. And the fear is if you legalize gambling in Alabama, it will give the Porch Creek Indians, who are governed by federal law, some sort of competitive advantage. And that's why you have skeptical Democrats that are going to be no votes. You got to placate them. Once you start going down that path, it gets very messy.
How about let's shift to what we just watched, which I assume you watched, and the nation watched, this presentation and speech from Vladimir Zelensky to the United States Congress and Senate. And we didn't see the whole show, Dalton and I, because we were on the radio. But what did you see? What effect will it have?
It was an odd presentation. I thought there was a video, trying to play to the heartstrings, the emotions of members of Congress, and I think to the American people, essentially asking the United States, citing like Martin Luther King Jr. It seemed to be somewhat effective this morning, but I don't know. I don't know that we're anywhere different than we were 24 hours ago on this, other than the direction seems to be toward getting involved in some capacity.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier, and you really kind of started this conversation a few weeks back, the cancel, I guess not necessarily cancel culture, but the way so many American corporations stepped out of Russia, and an economy that was becoming more and more Western in certain ways, with the McDonald's and the banks that they had over there, and everyone kind of withdrawing because it was culturally the right thing to do at the time. How does that play into this entire thing? Because I don't know if we've seen anything like that on this grand a scale with how globalized the economies have become, catch my drift there.
Yeah, well, but with Russia, it's much, much different, guys. It's not like they were a big, big exporter or importer. Vladimir Putin has set his economy up for this time, that it is, I don't want to say self-sufficient, but at least they have China to lean on in a worst-case scenario. Our friend Del Jackson with the McDonald's leaving Russia, calling it a no-fry zone. is that really going to really take Russia to its knees? I don't think so. So they're one of the most sanctioned countries in the world. It's like Russia, Iran, and North Korea are always getting hit with some kind of sanctions from the U.S. So they're used to it. And maybe you can get to Vladimir Putin's inner circle, but I don't think it's going to work in the long run.
I can't wait to hear the commentary today from your first guest, Frances Martell with Breitbart.
Yeah, she's so good on international affairs. I guess that's what you guys will be talking about, Jeff?
Yeah, that and who she has at her Final Four in her bracket, probably.
Well, our first guest that was supposed to talk about basketball really didn't surface today, and his slumber in Vermont, I guess. So anyway, we'll depend on Frances for our bracketology.
I got a sneak peek at Jeff's bracket, by the way. He has the Crimson Tide winning the whole thing. So
how did you know?
The Auburn fan there with the Tide. Also today, Scott Buttram with the Trustful Tribune coming up in the second hour, and Sean Ross, the third hour with SR Communications. Can't wait to get his latest take on some of these polls that are bouncing around showing Britt and Durant near the top.
Crazy. Okay, Jeff, take a little break, and we'll get you set up here a little after 9 o'clock.
Sounds great, guys.
Thank you. Jeff Ford Show.
That's right. Coming up in just a few minutes. And Mobile Mornings will be back bright and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. We'll talk about some basketball maybe tomorrow in the third hour.